So there's a very popular move going on right now to eliminate plastic straws, which is, I guess it's a good move because there's environmental issues of people throwing out all the plastic and gumming up things, and I guess they're harder to recycle than other things. And it seems like a great solution to a problem as long as we can all accommodate our lives to that. And one thing that I think has kind of fallen by the wayside is that there's a lot of people that are not aware of the need for straws for people with severe disabilities. And all of a sudden, what do you do? And this is one example of what seems like a simple solution to a complex problem, but then it creates more problems. And this is what happens in life. It's what happens culturally, because this plastic straw thing is a cultural thing. But each one of us faces problems in our life, and sometimes there's a complexity to that we don't know how to handle. And so this is one of the reasons why we're doing this summer series, Living Skillfully. We're looking at the book of Proverbs, where we're doing one little proverb or a section of Proverbs every week, because we need the skill to be able to live well. And this is what the Bible calls wisdom. We talked about it in the last message, which was 2 weeks ago. We didn't have a message last week. But last week I was going to talk about Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. So today I'm going to talk about Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, okay? I'd love it if you would turn there in whatever device you're using, if you're using paper or digital or whatever. But we also have a YouVersion Bible event on the YouVersion Bible app, which has where do we go from here application questions. I always encourage people to check those out. And we may have time at the end to deal with text messages. My number is on the screen. If you have a comment or question relevant to the message today, then we'll entertain those publicly. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. And this is one of those very few, not very few, there's a lot, but this is one of those, this is worth memorizing, these verses here. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So when it comes to living skillfully, living in a complex world, how do we do it? These two verses give a solution for that. Trust in the Lord. Trust is the idea of dependence. We all depend on something, whether we're depending on our car to get us to work, whether we're depending on our RSPs to retire, whether we're depending on our spouse to get the groceries, okay? We have dependencies, but when it comes to our entire life, your number one dependency, the thing you can count on or the person you can count on is God himself. 2 weeks ago, we talked about having the fear of the Lord. Today, we're talking about trusting in the Lord, and it's not trusting in some concept of deity, not some philosophical idea, because it doesn't say trust in God, it says trust in the Lord. When you see it all capitals there, that's talking about his very name. Trust in Yahweh, the person who is there, who has a purpose for you, and will lead you in what you need to know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This talks about everything you are. Trust completely. I was traveling last year on a sort of a mission trip, and there were three of us for the first leg of it, my son and somebody on our board, Jason. And Jason does a heck of a lot of traveling. He probably travels over 150,000 kilometers every year. And so we're going through the airport, and I'll tell you what I really appreciated about this, because every time I think we did 11 flights on this trip, and every time we were in the airport and Jason was with us, I turned my brain off. Because I'm just following him, because he does this all the time. He knows exactly what he was doing. It's easy to travel with somebody who travels all the time. I didn't have to think. Just, you know, he would say, we're going here, we're going there, and he walks fast, we just follow along. And then on the second half of the trip, he went back home, and we were doing the second leg by ourselves, and all of a sudden it's like, oh no, now I'm the guy. Like, I got to figure out where the luggage is and where we go and where we check in and all that other stuff. Man, what a difference when you're following somebody that knows exactly what they're doing. Okay, to live skillfully, follow someone that knows exactly what they're doing. This is where we can position ourselves in our relationship with God. Because he is the originator of wisdom. He is the one that has the knowledge to live skillfully for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. The original language says don't lean on your own understanding. We all have a concept of the world. Okay? If you have any kind of mental faculties whatsoever, You have some kind of understanding about how the world operates. And we tend to lean on that. We tend to go with that. In fact, I'll tell you something that's interesting, okay? This message was not intended, it wasn't planned to follow that story. But this is what is happening today. God knows what you need for your life. Your own understanding can be untrustworthy. Don't lean on your own understanding. Put your trust in God, because he's the one that has the wisdom. He knows what it is for you to live skillfully. Unfortunately, what happens is in our understanding, we have a perception of who God is. And that perception is incomplete. It's imperfect. Sometimes it's outright wrong. So within our own understanding, within our own perceptions, we have God in, we put him in these boxes in terms of what he can do, what he wants to do, what he will do. And so how do you get past that? Well, you seek his will in all you do. That's the very next verse. Seek his will in all you do. Now, I don't love that translation of the verse. When I memorize this, because it's one of those memorizable passages, a more traditional translation will say, acknowledge him in all your ways. What does that mean? What does it mean to acknowledge him? It means, in one sense, to remember that he's there. Don't act as if he's not there. Have you ever seen somebody who acts as if they don't have a spouse when they do? You know what that looks like, right? It's not a pretty sight. Acknowledge your spouse wherever you are. In your life, acknowledge your Creator who knows what it means to live with skill. Acknowledge your Creator who offers wisdom. Acknowledge him in all your ways. That means in your actions and in your conduct, in what you do and in how you do it. What does this give you? Well, in a world that's complex, in a world where it's hard to know what to do, in a world where we need his direction, when we act according to his will, when we do the things that he would have us do in the way that he would have us do it, well, I don't know where to start. Well, start by loving God completely and loving other people. Okay, that's a great place to start, and you can move on from there. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Act as if he is with you all the time, and may your conduct in how you do it acknowledge him. And then he will show you which path to take. I don't know what to do. Well, acknowledge him in your action and in your conduct, and your path will become clear. More traditional translation says he will make your paths straight. You move forward. I remember some years ago, there was a young adult in our church, and he came to see me, and he was facing two life choices, and one of them seemed more spiritual, and the other one seemed maybe a little bit more self-serving. It's what he really wanted to do, but he also wanted to do the other one. It was like a choice between this career and like a career in missions. And so he came to see me. He arranged a meeting. Here are my two life choices. And I said something that I don't think he really liked very much. I said, what do you want to do? Well, and I think what he wanted me to do was to say, here is what God is saying to you, thus saith the Lord, this is the path you shall take, and your future will be bright. And you know what, if God tells me to say something to somebody, I will, okay? But sometimes what we do is we look for God to speak to us only through other people. I need some prophet or something to tell me what to do, then I know what to do. That's not what this says. This says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I don't really think that what do you want to do is a really bad question. Because if you're pursuing God with all your heart, the desires that rise up in you are the desires that he gives you. He will give you the desires. And so I'm not here to be some, you know, life dictator coach for people. We are all following Jesus. And if we trust him with all our heart, if we don't depend on our own understanding, our own package of beliefs and perceptions, we pursue him as a person and allow him to reveal himself to us. I read a few years ago, actually I heard it from a few different sources, about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a shift in the way funerals were operating in North America. Because up till about 4 or 5 years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, in North America, the kind of music that was played was predominantly hymns. And there was a shift where all of a sudden hymns became in the minority And other songs came to take their place. And the number one song a few years ago became Frank Sinatra's My Way. That's the number one song for funerals. You may think, well, I've never heard of that song before, because you're not old enough, okay? So the shift actually didn't happen 3 or 4 years ago. The shift happened about 40 years ago when people started living that way, and that song became the call for a generation. Say, I'm not going to let somebody else tell me how to live. I'm going to live my way. And now those people are dying, and that's the song for their funerals. Because we tend to depend on our own understanding. We tend to live our way. And then we screw everything up. And we wonder why. Because we are called that the best life we can live is hand in hand with our Creator who loves us completely. We're to trust in Him completely with all of our heart and not depend on our own understanding. And then He will show you which way to go. Now, there may be somebody here, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that you've never, ever done that before. You've never put your hand in His, and you don't know how to do that. Well, it's as simple as ABC. First thing is admit your need for Him. Admit that your perception is going to be inadequate because our perception is limited. And second is believe that He has the life for you. How? How does He have the life for you? Well, because God sent Jesus to die on the cross to make the way available for us to live the life that He has for us. When we do it on our own, we screw it up. We have a self-destructive nature that actually opposes the best life we could be living. And we're trapped in that. But Jesus breaks that trap through His death, because in His death, He beat death itself. And then Jesus raised Him back to life to offer the life for every single one of us. So the second thing is believe that God has that for you through Jesus' death and resurrection, and the C is commit. It's not easy, as Paul said in his story. It's hard to submit to His purpose for you. But that's what it takes, because He's the one that knows best. Admit, believe, and commit. And if you've never done that before and you want to do that today, it's as simple as praying, God, take my life. I admit my need for You. I'm believing that You have that path for me through Jesus, and I'm committing myself to You. And if you're going to do that for the first time today, you can send me a text message and give your name, because I don't like seeing just numbers. I don't know who you are. But just say, I'm in. Or the other thing is that we have the connection cards. They're at the back of Theater 1. We also have them throughout the lobby. And there's a box you can check there. Just say, I have decided to become a follower of Jesus today, and put your relevant contact information on there. I'm going to close in prayer, but I do have a text message this morning. Oh, it's really long. It's a whole other message. I had a moment with my teenager this week when these verses came to life. That's kind of funny, because my mom ended up in the hospital last weekend, and she was really concerned about it, and she told me Sunday night. I haven't even told her this, because I was supposed to preach this last week, and she said, but God shared these two verses for me. It was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I was like, wow. That's 3 times between this person, my mother, and here. I had a moment with my teenager this week, and these verses came to life. There was something he did that he thought was no big deal, and I was trying and so frustrated at trying to get him to understand. He just kept on saying, I don't see what's the big deal. I don't understand. I placed his face between my hands and said, you don't have to understand. Just trust that Dad and I know what's best for you. And I fought back the tears as I felt just a piece of God's heart. He's always taking our face in His hands, saying the same to us with bigger, deeper love, which just blows my mind. That's true. I'm going to ask that you would stand. God loves you so much, and He's just waiting and longing for us to take that step of trust, to commit ourselves increasingly to Him, because as any parent would know, you want what's best for your children, and God wants what's best for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your love for us, and I acknowledge, Lord, that it is difficult sometimes to trust, that we are we're blinded, we're misinformed by our own perceptions, by our own understandings, and it's just easy to forget that You have a much, much bigger picture. That You see the entire context in which we live and operate, not just in terms of area, but in terms of time. You see the future. And so, Father, I ask that You would give each one of us an increased perception, revelation of who You are, and an ability to put our trust in you beyond our own understanding. I pray that as we commit to you, you would continue to make our path increasingly clear. And if not for next year, 2 years, 10 years, then for tomorrow, for next week. That on a daily basis, we would put our hand in yours and walk with you. Ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Immediately following the service, we're turning Theater One into a prayer room. So we always invite people to have a meaningful conversation with one person you've never met. We just ask that you do that in the lobby. We're reserving this room for prayer, and Wade's going to be providing an atmosphere for that. And we ask that, I would invite you to stay and pray. There's going to be some content on the screen to help guide you in that. You can pray with a friend, pray with a family member, with a small group, or by yourself if you choose. We just ask that that you do commit yourself in a deeper way to God this week.